Now, she is here, Tina.
Good morning.
Tina Kumarianis, how are you doing?
Well, we're certainly putting Rathdrum on the map this morning, and we had my friend Bill Porter on earlier. I heard him on the radio as I was travelling up. A lot of people organised a great fun day down in the playing fields in Rathdrum on Sunday for the Hannah O'Byrne Memorial for the Cancer Society, the local cancer. So we had vintage cars, everything there. It was really lovely.
I heard all about it on Friday ahead of the event. It was great.
A brilliant turnout this year, the best turnout yet. So I think everybody, after being locked up for a couple of years, they went all out. Yeah, it was lovely.
And we just had a phone call in as well that the government should be giving some money to the cancer support services for the great work they do.
Oh, wonderful.
To pay for their petrol and diesel. Anyway, Tina is here, and she's our agony aunt, and she's back today with advice for people. So we go straight in, Tina, and see how we do.
Yes, you choose. Where do you want to start?
We'll start with the mother-in-law.
Okay.
My mother-in-law has become ill, and I know that my husband would love her to move in with us. I just don't know if I'm comfortable with this and the responsibility it'll bring. Should I do the right thing, avoid a discussion for as long as possible, or just refuse?
Well, yeah, it's a difficult one, this. Before we begin, is your own mother still alive, and are you both prepared to take her on if and when the time comes? You've got to be very careful what you initiate, as it could open the floodgates to become a permanent carer for many, many years to come. You know, you don't know how long people live for. You don't say whether this is a passing illness with your mother-in-law and whether she'll be returning to her own home after recovering, or is your home going to be her departure terminal? Are you and your husband equipped and prepared to care for someone who's dying? It's not easy. I've done it a couple of times, and it is not easy to make the people feel at ease and happy. They're probably frightened if they're dying, and you've got to be a bit equipped for that sort of thing, and a lot of patience. Your husband, I must say, is to be commended for his care and attention to his mother, but in reality, is it you who's going to be looking after her day-to-day care? Is he going to be hopping out to work and you're the one left at home to look after her? If you really like her and you have the necessary time, then there is no greater kindness you can offer than to let a person finish their days in familiar surroundings with the people they love. What I'd do is I'd check with the Citizens Advice Bureau for available help in the situation. Also call your local community nurse. I had them in towards the end. They are wonderful, and they're most helpful at times like this. They come up with all sorts of things. And of course, the people come in, I don't know how often now, I'm talking back in 2004, but they came in a couple of times a week to help you with, bathing and all this sort of thing. So think it through. It's not an easy one. It's okay if she's just, when I say it's okay if she's just sort of recuperating after an illness and is going home, but if she likes it too much in your house, she may not be going home. So careful of that one too.
Okay. It's Tina Kumarianis. Next one is about football.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I thought the season was nearly over, but anyway, obviously this lady's had enough of it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of it going on at the moment. My boyfriend and I have little time together between work and family commitments, and yet each Sunday he disappears to watch football with his friends for most of the afternoon. We are fighting about this every week, and it's becoming a real strain. How can I make him see things from my point of view? I'm just looking at that. We're fighting about this every week. Probably using more time fighting than he is watching the football. But anyway, that's not for me to say. What do you say to this?
Well, as long as he is going off every Sunday to watch football and he's not doing anything anything else, I suppose. You sound a bit needy. He's not under house arrest. He's simply dating you, not giving up all he knows and loves. I'm just wondering, as a matter of interest, what are the other guys' girlfriends doing on Sundays while their boyfriends are with your boyfriend and they're all watching matches together? Why don't you arrange to meet up with them for shopping, a bite of lunch or a coffee and a catch-up, and then all meet together in the local pub later on? You know, that could be quite nice. Keep Saturdays for just the two of you, and there should be no aggro. But, you know, I think, as I say, the season, I think, is coming. I'm not a football fanatic, so I don't know. But, you know, I think the season might be coming to an end. But anyway, that's what I do. Find out what the other girlfriends are doing. Or, dare I say, catch up on housework. I'll be popular.
Yeah, indeed. But, I mean, there can be that somebody seems to put priorities.
I had a golfer in my life, and I had no interest whatsoever. And, you know, he bought me golf clubs and everything. But no, you've just got to do other things that interest you. Don't sit seething at home, because that's not going to do either of you any favours. He'll get fed up with you.
Now, here's another one. Holidays. This one, dear Tina, I'm going to Portugal this summer with my family, and I'm bringing one of my really good friends. I'm worried she's not going to enjoy it as much because she doesn't know most of the people I hang out with there. I'm afraid she's going to want to go out with her friends, who I didn't realise will also be on holidays there at the same time, but I wouldn't be close to them. Any suggestions?
God, worried and afraid. This is supposed to be a fun holiday, but instead, before the wheels lift off the tarmac, there's trouble in paradise. You know, I would have thought this would be a great time for both groups to mingle and get to know each other. You know, they're tried and trusted people. She knows them, you know, so they must be okay. And they're probably local, so it's nice if you really hit it off with them. They'll be coming back to Ireland after the holiday, so you could keep in touch with them there. When you get to stay with your friends, if you like, but everyone else gets to meet new and interesting people, which is what holidays are all about. So if you don't want to mingle, well, you've got your own family and friends that you're out there with, but you've got to be prepared for them to maybe want to mingle with these other people. So I wouldn't just pull down the shutters. And goodness knows what holiday romances will blossom. You might even end up being the hero for being the common denominator.
Yes, okay.
You know.
Yeah. A strange situation with, you know, two groups of people.
I know. I don't know what she's worried about. Go out. I mean, you're not going to marry these people. You're only going out for a couple of weeks' holiday. If you don't like them, go off and do day trips on your own or with some of your own family that don't want to hang out with them. It's not a big deal. You can see your friend. All right, she's travelling out with you. But again, you're not married to her. Let her do what she likes. It's her holiday too. And, you know, just the whole point of the holiday is everybody has a good time.
Exactly. Here's one. Dear Tina, I've been going out with my boyfriend for nearly 4 years now. We met when we were 18, and over the years, friends of ours have asked and teased us about having sex, which, incidentally, we haven't. Recently, my boyfriend's friends have been asking him in front of me why he's with me if he isn't getting any. He brushes it off, but it's beginning to upset me that we are considered weird for not rushing into anything. And I'm beginning to think we should just get it over with, as everyone will just leave us alone then. What do you think?
Jeez, I think a lot of things. For instance, in the real world, 4 years is certainly not rushing things, not where I come from anyway. Having sex just to get over it is not very sensual or indeed inviting. Real friends do not harass. And finally, I won't even get into that incredible feeling of wanting to give it your all when you are madly in love with somebody. So I'm a little in the dark as to what you are up to, or not up to, as the case may be. One thing I do ponder on, and it stuck with me over the years, I heard it quite a while ago. I remember hearing the Telegraph newspaper disclosed a research study showing the conventional man thinks about sex 13 times throughout the day. This is, wait for it, 4,745 times a year. If this is the norm, what is your boyfriend up to behind your back that he's so indifferent to something that should actually be wrecking his head? And if this is the norm, then is this a relationship or should we really just call it a friendship? Just saying.
Yeah.
You know, 4 years and to get it over with. I think it's time you both moved on in different directions because neither of you are doing it for the other one, literally not doing it for the other one. There's no hot passion there, so I'd be looking elsewhere, both of you looking elsewhere. If your boyfriend isn't already, I think it's a bit strange. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just a nasty old lady, but anyway.
Well, neither nasty nor old. Now, come on, you know.
Well.
Okay. Tina Kumarianis, asktinak@gmail.com. Okay, we leave it at that one.
Yes, I think that's a very good one to leave it at. Something for her to ponder on.
Indeed. Okay, there she is, the pride of Rat Drum, Tina Kumarianis. Thanks, Tina.